Just want to explain something, or a conviction. Conviction is not really for everyone. It's just that in terms of conviction, sometimes it is sin for others to do that, but for others it's not, because it's not clear in the Bible. Like, you see me using my cell phone on when I read my Bible, because I believe that the book which the Bible says read the book is not really the Bible. It is the scroll which was written by the prophets, and it was the scroll. The Bible was written, was made in the 15th century. It's called Bible because it's the new and the old by Testament. But during the time of Moses, when he said read the book, he is talking about the scroll. But later on, as it developed, we've got this online thing. All the translations, I can read it here very fast. Now, some doesn't want it because of the commercial that comes out there. You put your favorite food and it will come there. It's all right. You see your favorite food. I see all the fishing gears there when I read my. It's all right with me. I'm not bothered by that. Because here, it's very fast to know. If you know the Bible, it's very fast to know where you want to read. If you just write, you want to read hope, just write hope, and all the words in hope in the Bible will appear there. Just choose which one you read. It's very fast, and I use Bible Gateway. And besides that, if you go to a country that doesn't accept the Bible, bring your cell phone, and the app is there. Download that, and you have the Bible even in a restricted country. See, we should use this new thing, and we should not restrict those that use it. But I respect those who still read on that book. We have to respect them. That's why, for the sake of them, I bring my Bible, not to pretend, but for the sake of those that will not like it if I don't bring my Bible. See, because the Bible says don't be a stumbling block to those that are, you know. Yeah, so that's it. It's just a respect to those that have convictions and to those that doesn't do something, but it's not a sin anyway, okay? All right. Is it clear? It's clear as mud. The topic that was given to me was walking in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? Do we have to be in the Spirit and you cannot be seen, just keep walking? It's not. Okay, let's read our text. Lord, bless your word today, God. And by the way, after I preach, I want you to be a witness to a dedication that we're going to do. Just short, okay? And we will be doing a dedication for a boy whose parents love the Lord. Okay? Galatians, let's read it. 5:16-17. Ready? Begin. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. So there are two things there, walk in the Spirit and walk according to the flesh. Now, how do we know that a Christian is walking in the Spirit? In Matthew 7:20, we read there, ready, begin. Therefore, the fruits, know them. By their fruits, you will know them. Okay? And what are these fruits? Galatians 5:16-17. Ready? Begin. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. So if we walk on this, we walk in love, it means we forgive those that sin against us. We understand people who have weaknesses. We just care about people. In fact, Jesus said, love your enemies. It's hard, but if we do that, we are walking in the Spirit. Joy. Joy means it doesn't, even if there is war there and prices of what? Petrol rises, and you still have joy because you know God is in control. Then you are walking in love. In it. in joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those things there. If you walk in that, you are walking in the Spirit. If truly a Christian walks in the Spirit, even problems including sin, and I will explain that to you today, which is also a problem to him, becomes a blessing to him, and will, yes, I will prove that. So listen very well, okay? I want you to listen very carefully. I don't want you to be confused here. And it's from Paul explaining that. And note, I did not say that sin is a problem or a problem is a blessing. That's not what I'm telling about. But I said it can become a blessing to us. I will prove that today with all of you guys, okay? Now, Psalms 22:19. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Problem, let's read it all together. Problem or sin can become blessings when it teaches us about our mortality and limitations and lead us into trusting God more. Me and Jomi are, because the only way that the enemy could not, how do you say it, could not, could not accuse you, because the devil is the accuser of the brethren, expose it to someone you trust. So Jamie and I expose each other's private sin, and Louisa. So the devil cannot accuse me, hey, you are pretending that you are, no. No one is holy, no one is good except Jesus. No one. And later on, I will prove it to you that even Paul considered himself the most worst among sinners. And yet, we adore him of all the revelations that he had received. Okay, Philippians 4:4, let's read it. Ready? Begin. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We can create a logic here today. The more problems we have, the more blessings we can possibly receive as we battle it by faith, having the wisdom of God as we fight in humility, but with courage. Anything that happens, you face it with courage. Even the worst problem that you can have, you face it with courage, trusting God, then later on, you'll receive the blessing. I always be reminded of how God teaches us with, especially with people that are so hard to deal with. But if you have that patience, you have that prayer, you have that courage to confront them when they are wrong with love, then later on, that problem becomes a blessing. That problem becomes a blessing because you will realize, hey, God can do even the impossible as long as we trust him. Number two, ready, begin. Problem or sin can become blessing when they humble us before God. In Deuteronomy 8:23, 2-3, these are the Israelites. Let's read it. Ready, begin. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you into the way for 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but lives with every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Actually, they traveled for 40 years because of stubbornness. They saw how the Red Sea was divided, and they walked through a dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters are all over there. But yet, they still getting stubborn. God has to expose the content of their hearts because that's the only way they realize they need a God. And so they could have trouble, some beliefs, those that had been in Israel already and in Egypt, they could walk in a week, some beliefs in 40 days. But they won't. They won't. They cannot do it. And all of those that went with them, all of those died on the wilderness. God did let them cross the Jordan River, except for Caleb and Joshua, the two brave men who saw the giants as grasshoppers. And all that remained were their children who didn't know about, who didn't experience life in Egypt. All they know was the miracle that God, that when they needed the food, manna comes down from heaven. And then their fathers complained, all manna, is there nothing else? Oh my gosh. And then they wail just. And they still complain. During the daytime, they have the clouds that covered them from the sun. And at night, the clouds become the pillars of fire so that they have light and they have warmth. For 40 years, their shoes and their sandals never worn out. I don't know with you guys, if that happens with you and you still don't trust God. But they were so rebellious of Moses, complaining and complaining and complaining. But God didn't give up on them. It was better for him to take out all of them, because they are not ready to fight the battle because they were afraid of the giants. So, for the grace of God, he took them out, and only those that were born in the wilderness were able to cross. The children who have not experienced slave mentality. So, problem or sin can become a blessing when they humble us before God. Number three. Where is it? Oh, it went back. Yeah, I love this. Ready? Begin. Problem or sin can become blessings when it leads us to pray or pray some more. Do you notice that the more problems you have, the more serious you pray? So when you see somebody, really, the eyes and you even not, oh, this is a problem. He has a problem. This man is a problem. Some go to church when they have big problems, large problems. But also to those that whose hearts are broken, they will rebel, never go to church and question God. So two things you can do. When you have problems, the more you pray. Hopefully, the more you will trust God that he will do his thing. Especially when a Christian prays with tears. Do you know that God loves your tears when you pray? When you cry out to the Lord. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of Jacob, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Tears are a very powerful tool to get the heart of God, because tears are an expression of a very serious thing that you need God. In Psalms 126, verse 5, it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. I love shedding tears, especially when I get blessed or I get some sympathy or I get some things that God, I know it's God that moved, even in worship. My tears are just so easy to flow, even if I'm watching something, not spiritual, but if when my heart is touched because of the situation, Louisa would laugh at me. Are you crying? You're crying again, Dad. I don't know why these tears are very... Yes, I think I have a production of tears. Or maybe my heart is just so soft. so soft. I don't know. Maybe God softened my heart that much that, you know, tears are just there. Maybe that's why I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. Imagine, 71 years old. How is that? My friends, when they walk, and some of them, about half of our mates when we graduated, already passed away. And here I am, still free, still alive and kicking. And that's the blessing of God. I love it. And something, this just sidetrack. And same thing I learned in New Zealand. If you get to 65 years old, many wants to retire. I understand that because of they're weak, they're sickly, or they just dream that they reach 65. And one of the employees of Kerry Park even went to the south so that his pension will be enough for him there, and he will enjoy the sea. But me, I don't feel that because I'm not sick. I'm alive. I love my grandchildren. I want them to have inheritance when I die. So my goal is 7 years more work. So I'll be 78. That's it. Hopefully I can. Yeah. But one day Louisa said, maybe it's time for you to retire, Dad. No. I'm happy for my grandchildren. I love them. I want to give them inheritance. The only way you can go forward is when you have a dream. Once you don't have a dream, that's it. You stop. and just think of yourself. One of the drivers said, why don't you enjoy your life, Dad? Why are you still working when he knows I'm 71? Why do I stop? Enjoy your life. I am enjoying it. How? You're still working. He thinks that when you still work, you don't enjoy your life. How do you enjoy your life? He said, "You don't even your car. You don't even have a nice car." Well, I drive a Scania, expensive buses. Why do I need a nice car? I drive brand new buses. But that's not yours. Enjoy your life, Dad. Go around the world. My wife will not like that. She hates the airplane. And it's true. She doesn't like the airplane. She hates it. Me too. I don't like the airplane. The only thing that's why I still go to the Philippines is because of my relatives, because of the church. But other than that, how I wish I'll just stay here with my brother at Fuatipu and we'll catch the big snappers. And I told him my enjoyment is not whatever material things that my enjoyment is go fishing. Yeah. Play pool, yes. Compete, and the church. Oh, we are many today. Look. We're plenty today. And it's the joy of a pastor when we see people in the church growing, committing unto the Lord. Yes. That's only joy. So, let's get back. Let's get back. Where am I now? Go to the next one. Okay. In Philippians 4, 6 to 7, ready, begin. Let's read it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ. Don't be anxious for nothing. Anxious means you're always bothered. And what's that? You don't have peace at any time. You're just anxious. Everything. What's happening around, something with your family. Yeah. Worrying over everything. Worry about your face going down. Worry about your belly going there. Worry of everything. The wrinkles. Worry on the, I don't know. It's all right to notice that, but if you worry about those things, and you see this scratch here, and you read something that when there is a scratch, maybe it's a skin cancer, and you worry about it, everything that worries you, that's our anxiousness. In everything, give thanks. In fact, for this is the will of God concerning you, not about the sickness, but about the God who gives us strength. Okay, let's read another one. No, go back first. The problem. Problem or sin can become blessing when they bring us back to God. When they bring us back to God. In 2 Corinthians 12:3, let's read it. Oh, no. Is it? No. Can you go back? Yeah. Oh, I'll explain that first. Problem can become blessing when they bring us back to God. Some Christians backslide because of problems. Problem with people in the church, problem with life. They backslide. They doubt the goodness of God. And they just go into the world and enjoy the world, being deceived. But later on, they've got all this there's no solution problems, in at least with them. That's when some of them will go back to the church. They leave the church and then they come back. Sometimes that happens. And if that happens, that problem, that situation has brought you back to God. Okay? And this one, I like this. The next one. Oh, yeah, that's the one. That's the one. That's the other one. Let's read this about the prodigal son that had a problem and then he went back to God. Luke 15, 14 to 18. Ready, begin. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that he ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" He is the prodigal son. He took his inheritance. He asked his inheritance for his father, and his father gave it to him. So he left in a far country, far place, and spent all that money that he inherited in a prodigal way. What do you say it? Luxury, huh? Lavish living, until one day, all his inheritance are gone. Now he had a problem, but the worst thing that he had done is he left the presence of his father. He left the wisdom of his father. He left the household, and in Israel, if you do that, you're like rebelling against the family, your father, and you are ang hirap naman mag-English kasi di Tagalogin na nga lang dahil. Ang hirap ba? Ano ba to? 71. You can do it. How I wish I speak in Tagalog just so that I can do anything I want, but I'm running out of English here. By grace, by the grace of God, I can do it. He's good. That's why I tell you, Pastor, Brother Ferdy, you stand here, you try it, and the grace of God will work. Now, it's hard for the father that he left his son left. And so, it is an illustration of the Father allowing us to go through all these rebellious attitudes that we do, leave the church, leave our faith, not faith because it will always be there, leave the things that we do, leave our support for whatever, leave our ministry. But later on, there come a time when God is speaking to your heart through the situations that you are into. I know a man, he's very close to me. He's very close to me. I consider him as my father. He was a very anointed man. He was a sought speaker all over the Philippines and even abroad. He was invited. He's a very rich man. He's a millionaire in the Philippines. He's like my father. And then one day, he just stopped. He just resigned from pastoring. And so here we are with Pastor Joey Zabarde, him, we left, managing the church. It was hard at the time because all the people were just looking at him because he was such an anointed man of God. And he fell into sin. It was hard. It was hard for him. And one day, he got sleep. He slipped when he was going to the toilet and hit his head. And there was something wrong with the brain or something like that. And he was telling this story already because we met in Houston. We organized all the staff of the church that are in the U.S. We meet together in Houston, one of the staff, the TV, television staff there, because we have a TV ministry, two programs at that time. And I asked him, how did you come back to your senses when you fell off that? And he said, it's all by the grace of God. His mercy and grace took me up again. And so we had a good time with him. Now he is old now. I don't know how old is he now. But the thing is, he was not able to recover from the trust of the people that got offended because of what he had done. But God restored him back. Restored him back. So sometimes, sin that we do, just God allows us to just stumble something there that we don't have a place to go. Just for us to hopefully go back into the Father's care. That's why His mercy is sufficient. His mercy is new every morning. It means every day it applies and works in our behalf. Next one, problem or sin can become blessing when they reveal to us undiscovered grace. You don't know that you can do it, but by the grace of God you discover you can do it. 2 Corinthians 12:19, we read this from Paul. Ready, begin. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Imagine how many times he was almost drowned because the boat, sank. How many times he was almost died because he was stoned and beat into the, almost died. Sometimes he's so poor, he's so in need of money. But sometimes also there's an offering to him. All the things that he had gone through, and especially his care for the brethren, because he is in prison. And he would pray that this thorn will leave him. Three times he prayed. But this is the answer of God. My grace is sufficient for you. That's why every time I prepare my message, I always say, Lord, let your grace be upon me. Let my words, my problem really is not the preaching. My problem is English. I don't know. It's so hard. I don't know with you guys, Filipinos. Is it easy for you to speak English even if you are 25 years here in New Zealand? No, it's hard. Come to the Philippines and learn our language. 20 years, I don't know if you can speak. It's different when you write it, especially that we have AI. Luisa wrote a letter, and she thought, what if I ask the AI to correct my letter? And he put the AI, and it was very excellent letter. But speaking is really hard, guys. And to me, I always need the grace of God when every time I speak, not because of the message that I will do, but because of running out of word and grasping for words. So, His grace is sufficient for us. And there are grace that we will always discover as we go through with God. The grace that will sustain us, trusting Him, even if things seems like untrustworthy. You do not know if you can pass it or not. You can get through it or not. I have a post with Hannah and CJ's wedding. I don't know if you read that, if you saw that. I have a post. I'll show you. And I love it because this is true in my heart. Where is it? Sorry, guys, but let me just see it. And I will read it to you. This was when they had the wedding. And I officiated that wedding at Cary Park. And I said, life challenges and difficulties may try to pin us at a dead end. But the Lord make Himself and all the time available bridges to get into a better life if we don't give up trusting Him. He can make all things work together for good to them that love Him. And I wrote this because I thought of my son-in-law who came here just a bag of clothes and stayed with not even a relative and slept on the couch because they don't have a room for him. And even his dad would ring him, if you are tired there, just come home. Because the dad knows the situation of somebody coming into a country where you don't know if you can make it or not. So I was speaking to this to him. But he found a cell group. And then he got committed to that. He got committed to the Lord. And then he found my daughter. And I was so happy because he found my daughter. Because my daughter, I know, she's stubborn. I know that. He knows it. But she's a good woman. She loves the Lord. My daughter loves the Lord. Don't worry. Even if she's stubborn, she loves the Lord. It's like me and my wife. I'm stubborn, but I love the Lord. Yeah. I'm stubborn. Hard to just... You just don't tell me what to do. I will try to reason out. Now I lost my... No more. Should I stop it? Yeah. Okay. Let's finish it. Ready, begin. Problem can become blessings when it leads to a conclusion from your heart that you are nothing and God is everything. That's the ultimate thing that we should come into. Let's read Paul. Paul said here, Romans 7, 18 to 20. Ready, begin. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present to me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil will not to do that I practice. Now if I do, I will not to do. It is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Now, this is his big problem. Sin of omission and sin of commission. The things that I should do, I don't do. The things that I do, I should do. The things that I should not do, I do. Whether that I believe that is because no one is perfect. All of us has our favorite sin, quote unquote. All of us, all men, that you are easily trapped there. That's why what I do, me and Jami, we expose it. That thing that you know, that thing that we just sometimes can't avoid. It's just so not powerful, but we just I want to get out from that. I thought when I get to 50 years old, that's it. I will recover from it. After 21 years, here I am. Because if I recover from that, I will be perfect. God will take me. No, I'm not saying that I will continue doing that. No, I struggle. You know, my wife knows that. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. All of us have that. But he said, in verse 34, ready, begin. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Wretched man. Do you know what a wretched man is? Wretched? Wretched? Do you know what it is? Nothing. You are zero. You cannot break. And yet he is a Pharisee. And yet he wrote he wrote Romans, Corinthians, Thessalonians, Timothy. He wrote all of those. He has a lot of revelation about God. And yet he considers himself wretched because he knows. He's nothing without God. And God will take us to that point that until we reach that, we don't really recognize who God is and who we are. Nothing you can brag about. All of his achievement, he said, all done just to receive Christ. Nothing you can boast. Nothing. And then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Tell your neighbor, you are wretched, I know. Tell it to me too. You are wretched, I know. That's why we cannot judge anyone. We cannot compare ourselves to anyone. We are equal in God, all wretched. All of us need the grace of God. Yeah. All of us had to come to that point where there's nothing we can brag about. We need God. We need God.